What does that mean?
Hold on.
It say app is not focused.
You don't have the focus.
Does not have the app focus.
It say that on yours too.
Yeah. It say that about you though. Is it saying that about me?
It's saying it about me.
What does that
mean? What does that mean?
I don't know.
I keep getting network is struggling.
These network is struggling. I'm struggling. It's a struggle bus day. What the heck? Hold on. Boo strangers. I'm still fighting for my life. I have allergies. And I'm Brit.
And I'm Dee. And I have vertigo.
And her network is struggling.
Possibly.
Possibly that she has vertigo, but the network is struggling.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a fact. And welcome to another episode of
It's a Strange World After All.
I don't know what made me think about these.
People gonna be sick of us talking about
it. Prepare to be sick of us. I got the Dumb Dumb Suckers. I got Great Mystery. Let's see, blue raspberry, sour apple.
So you went and bought those just for
I didn't buy these. I got these free from El Banco.
Oh.
Got these free from the bank.
From where?
The bank.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
I said the bank. I repeated it. I was saying the bank. Not the bank. The bank. Oh, no. I don't know. But although we are on the struggle bus, we are going to keep it rolling along. This is the piggity place where we discuss true crime cases, the supernatural, urban legends, conspiracy theories, and all of the things that keep the world strange. It is still spooky season. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Yes, we got a little brisk weather. Like, it's chilled a little bit here in Texas. Just a little bit.
Oh, good for y'all.
It was needed. As it is our favorite time of year, all month long, we will dedicate all of our episodes to All Halloween's Eve. Them things is going in our Halloween Hall of Strange. The last episode is going to be our Halloween variety show, jam-packed with some different strange content for you guys. And maybe, possibly, if life permits, if technical issues don't get in the way, we will have maybe two, but for sure one bonus episode. So prepare to be sick of us.
And pray for my network.
Yes, amen. And pray,
please,
for my sinuses. Please. Because I've been taking pills. I feel like the pills are making it worse. I feel like it's not making it better. I was like, this is why I don't take allergy medicine.
What are you taking?
Some kind of off-brand. That's probably why. The 7-Eleven allergy relief.
I have never seen that.
Yeah, I had never seen that. That's probably what it is. It said compare to Benadryl. I'm pretty sure. It said compare to Benadryl. Compare to Benadryl. But we are here for our activity today, which now I'm thinking maybe I gotta find another activity, because I don't know if you saw what I tagged you in on the podcast page. It was that video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of them doing that mind melding thing.
Yeah, I think we would have to be in the same place, because it's too much of a delay.
I was gonna say, I don't think we have to be in the same place. I think it's
especially
the
now.
Internet needs to be better. That's what I think, because it's not that bad of a delay when it's working properly. Yeah. But because we played Would You Rather Candy Edition, we will do Would You Rather just general Halloween Edition.
Okay.
So would you? Sorry. Okay. Because this one, it says, this is coming from PsyCatGames.com. Would you rather live as a ghost on Earth after you die, or just stay dead? And I don't know why.
Oh, That is actually a good question.
That is a good question.
I think I would just stay dead because I'm sick of this already.
I knew that was your answer.
Go through that again. Yeah.
That's why I was cracking up, because I figured I already knew your answer was stay dead. I'm gonna have to go in and stay dead. That's what you, not me though. Me, I am a flair for the dramatics. I have a flair for the dramatics, and I would like to be a ghost. I'm not trying to be a ghost forever, but
I feel like that's what they meant. I mean, if you have to stay dead, I would assume you would have to stay a ghost.
No, it don't say that though. So my, because you can't be a ghost if the world ends, like that's it. If he comes back for the rapture, he snatched up everybody. You know what I mean? Either snatch them up or send them somewhere.
Start all over.
That's fine. But in the meantime, I'm just trying to be a ghost. I'm trying to be a ghost. And then one day when I'm sick of it, I'm going to haunt somebody and be like, hey, I just need you to help me. I just need you to help me pass over because I'm sick of this. So I'm choosing ghost. I just want to see, you know, what happens to the world. Like, what's going on?
I guess. No, I'm going to stay dead.
Stay dead. Ooh. Okay. Would you rather save your mom and let 100 innocent people die, or save 100 innocent people and let your mom die?
This don't even have nothing to do.
It's on here. It's like, this is adult. Would you rather? Halloween edition.
How does this have anything to do with Halloween? But
I'm just telling you what it say. It say Halloween edition.
I would save my mom.
Okay.
Wait, how many people gotta die?
100.
Oh, that's not bad.
What? What? And I'm talking, I don't even know how to answer that question.
What's her name?
What?
Wait, with your hands like this, you look like, is it Regina Hall? That mean where she was like,
yes, Regina Hall. Because I'm shook. I'm shook with it. I don't even know how to answer the question. So,
see?
It says.
But you got to. I answered it.
Saving 100 strangers or saving your mom? This question is tough and easy at the same time. What does your heart and what does your head say? I feel like our parents have lived life, you know what I mean? Like, because that's like a question of like moral ethics, because this is just 100 innocent people. Like, there could be children aboard this 100 innocent people. Those
you
children
didn't say that though. So
it's 100 innocent people in general though. So you're talking a mix of kids, men, women. Yeah, men, women, and children. And it's 100 adults. You're talking just 100 innocent people. A dilemma of ethics. It's like, ooh, if you could though, I would ask my mom, like, how you feeling? Like, tell me where your head is at. Do you want me to sacrifice you?
I already know what my mama would say.
What? So,
save me.
Wait, how many people listen? 100, that's about what, 10%? That's not, well, not even 10%. It's less than 10% of the Earth's population. It's like a point something percent. Okay. Dang. Okay, one more. Do a list.
Well, you ain't even ask her.
No, I said how I feel. I said I might have to, well, I said I would ask. The real answer is I would ask what she would
want
to do. No,
you gotta give a straight answer like I did.
She gonna have to go. I said I feel like they've lived solid lives. I feel like if anyone over 50, like, bro, you've lived a couple decades. Like, you're talking about, no, I'm serious, what you're talking about.
She is not that old, though.
I'm just saying, if it had to be me or 100 people, I think I'd be like, just take me instead. I'm not finna save one person to spare. I mean, I'm not finna, yeah, save one person to kill 100 people. I feel like, ethically speaking, she gonna have to go. Because that's what she would want me to do. I think my mom would not want me to let 100 people die, especially if any of those hundreds of people are innocent, like children, like. Because she's lived a good life. She's lived a good, go ask her. Would you rather, Renny, I'm going to ask her tomorrow. I'm going to call her and ask her tomorrow. Would you rather I let 100 orphan school children die, or
that wasn't even the question.
Just milk it. Look, milk it. Just would you rather? I let. They're holding puppies. That's where you lost me. Puppies.
I was gonna say that's where you're gonna lose her because that's funny.
It says, would you rather have sex with Frank Inverter from the Rocky Horror Picture Show or with Jared Leto as the jerk? The Joker is Suicide Squad.
Who is coming up with these questions?
I don't know. Oh, wait. Let me do this one. Because you've seen both. I fell asleep in one, but I just want to know what you think. Would you rather forever be chased by Pennywise the Clown from It? Or forever be chased by the creature from It Follows.
The creature from It Follows, because you can get rid of it.
How you get rid of it?
You just have to have sex with somebody. And then
that's what it was, right?
To them.
Because I was like, is this a STD? But I didn't watch the whole movie, so I got to go back
and
watch
I think that's what it was.
Okay.
But yeah, that one was easy.
See, I didn't know because I've never really watched It Follows. So I didn't know, like, how big of a threat it was or like how difficult it was to get rid of, but okay.
Yeah, all you gotta do is sleep with somebody.
Interesting. Okay. Would you rather Halloween edition with some after dark? That's it. That's all I had.
I was just gonna say I might get some hate for this, but It Follows was overrated.
Whoa.
Because I watched it, but I watched it like years after it came out. And all I was hearing, oh, you got to watch It Follows. It's like one of the best movies. No, in my opinion.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm going to watch it. It's on something.
It was, because I saw it. It was on Netflix when I saw it. I don't know if it's still on there. Okay. 20 minutes later with a struggling network. In today's episode, we discuss the Arnie Cheyenne Johnson case. This is the first known court case in the United States in which the defense attempted to prove the defendant's innocence and that the crime was a result of demonic possession. Why you didn't mute yourself?
That was an accident. In the summer of 1980, Arnie Cheyenne Johnson and his girlfriend Debbie Glatzel acquired a rental property. Debbie's 11-year-old brother David was helping them clean the home when he claimed that an old man suddenly appeared and pushed him. Arnie and Debbie initially thought David was using the old man as an excuse to avoid cleaning. David said that the old man vowed to harm them if they moved into the rental home.
So, the old man would appear. Oh.
You just go. We just gonna walk dance past the fact that he saw an old man and that.
I mean.
They thought it was an excuse. I mean, they thought he made up an excuse that he didn't want to help them that bad.
I feel like kids would do that.
I feel like an 11-year-old.
Because why y'all got me here?
I feel like kids, though, they be telling the truth, be like, I really don't want to help you. So, like, I don't know that they are developed enough to concoct something like that. It's usually something obvious, like, I'm tired, or like, my stomach hurts. Like, not, hey, there's this old man that I'm seeing.
You know, some kids probably would.
I don't believe it.
Some kids are just extra.
I've never heard any kid that. If a kid is saying that they see something, I think that they really believe that they see it.
It just made me think of Boss.
What?
You never heard that story? When we were kids, like, you know how this was in San Antonio, so you probably wasn't even a thing yet. So, you know how when you have company and all the kids will, you put newspaper on the floor and all the kids sit on the floor and eat. So we were sitting on the floor and out the blue, Boss just start freaking out, crying and screaming. And everybody's like, what's wrong with you? And he just kept saying, I saw something. And everybody was like, what are you talking about? And he just kept on, I saw something. And to this day, we don't know what he saw.
He never said what it was.
So, young because we were still in San Antonio. So,
and it wasn't.
He doesn't even remember.
Was it a La Cucaracha? It always comes back to the La Cucaracha.
So I never told anybody, but I remembered it. But I thought it was just like a dream I had until my mama and Bubby brought it up one day. And I was like, wait a minute, I kind of remember this. But what I remember is like a orb, like a ball of light flying past us. And so I always thought it was like a dream.
How old were you?
I had to be like, so when we moved to Dallas, I was in kindergarten. So I had to probably be younger, probably like 5.
Oh, okay. Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they said that Boss was born with a veil over his eyes, so he probably did see something.
Probably. Yeah, see, yeah, that's all I'm saying. That. Yeah, I see how you could. That's all I'm saying is I feel like kids and animals, like babies, young children and animals, they just have this sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe that. The old man would appear to David as a demonic beast who spoke Latin and threatened to steal his soul. Even though the family heard the strange noises coming from the attic, David was the only one who saw the old man. After David experienced a night of terrors, exhibited strange behavior, and obtained unexplained scratches and bruises, the family called in a Catholic priest who attempted to bless the house. That's a lot.
That is a lot. He tried to tell them, though. He tried to tell them, but they didn't want to believe him. They thought he was messing around and he was telling the truth. And now look at him.
I mean.
Stop.
No, because I'm trying to.
I mean,
I could see how they would think that he was trying to avoid cleaning. He's a kid. He don't want to be there.
No, but.
That's a lot. You all got a whole house that y'all done bought.
He said. He saw an old man. He said that the old man vowed to do them harm. There are no kids that I've met in this lifetime that are just out there like, bro, there's a ghost. I see a ghost. I see this person. And he's telling me that he's going to harm us just to get out of cleaning. There ain't no way.
Depending on where they lived, it could have been a hermit or something.
That's it. You think I want to live? I don't want to live here. And you got somebody in here squatting. You got a frog in the situation. Figure it out. It's just a homeless man named Tyrone eating up all the Cheetos. I don't care. I don't want either one. Would you rather have a ghost or a squatter? Neither. Neither one.
Yeah. Now I'd rather have a ghost.
I might could do a squatter if... Nah, a ghost. Because you don't know. You don't know what humans are. You know what I mean? So a ghost. You right.
Yeah, it's a whole show on Lifetime about that. I think it's probably only one season, though.
But not a demonic possession. I would rather a squatter. I'd be like, let's figure something out.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, miss me no deep.
True.
12 days after the initial incident, the family enlisted these two favorite people, these favorite couple, Ed and Lorraine Warren. Lorraine witnessed a black mist materialize next to David, indicating a malevolent presence. Debbie and her mother told the Warrens they saw David being beaten and choked by invisible hands, and that red marks appeared on his neck afterwards.
Invisible hand. I don't know why invisible hands is funny to me.
I don't either. It's because you imagine somebody get beat up. It's all funny games. See, you get beat up by invisible hands.
No, not a kid. I'm just saying the phrase invisible hands.
Oh.
Because that's what happened to Bill. No, his brother. His brother.
His brother, Bob.
Yeah.
And then how you know it's hands? Is it because it feels like hands? If they're invisible, how do you know that they're hands?
I think that's why it's so funny to me. Because it doesn't make sense.
Like an invisible man.
Yeah, how would they know? Unless he said that's what it felt like.
That's what I was thinking, that it felt like hands.
Yeah. David would growl, hiss, speak in otherworldly voices, and recite passages from the Bible or Paradise Lost. The Glatzels recounted how each night a family member would stay awake with David as he suffered through spasms and convulsions. The Warrens came to the conclusion that David was possessed, as they always do. In October 1980, Ed and Lorraine Warren contacted the Brookfield police to warn them that the situation was becoming dangerous.
Dangerous. Oh, no. Sorry, I was having a sneezing
fit.
Let's get dangerous. damn it. I forgot what I was going to say. I know that I had something to say about this, but I don't remember, so you must have something to say about Ed and Lorraine.
Not right now. No, it's because...
I don't fuck with them like that.
It's because, you know, I've always been into the paranormal. And I think like the first show I ever saw was Ghost Hunters. And
oh, yeah.
They used to reference them a lot. So I was like, oh, okay. And then it wasn't until we started doing the podcast that I really just looked into them.
Yeah.
And saw what was really going on and saw how whoever, like, it was one day on Twitter, somebody like basically been saying the same stuff I've been saying, and the paranormal community like ran them off of Twitter. Like, you can't say nothing bad about, they're like the Beyonce of the paranormal community.
Oh,
you can't say nothing. Yeah.
Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Yeah. And the fact that their babysitter came out and was like, no, I was their live-in girlfriend. I was 15.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah.
And they still, that's
and
crazy.
She said she helped them fake a lot of their evidence. So.
Yeah.
Because that one video, because it's like they always say they have all this evidence, but they never show it. And then the one time they put out a video, it was, because it was in a cemetery, and it was like, you could barely see it, and then you just see,
yeah,
like, it just looked like a person with a sheet walking through the cemetery, and the lady was like, that was me, I was wearing a sheet, and he told me to walk through the cemetery.
It was a freaking, what is that? Is that Greenbrier Ghost, or is that Hammersmith?
Yes.
Okay, Greenbrier.
Hammersmith.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't put it past them.
A little disappointed.
The Glatzel family, along with the Warrens, proceeded to have multiple priests petition the Catholic Church to have a formal exorcism performed on David.
No, I was just going to say that David was 11. And so, yeah. I was like, I wonder if they attempted to try to get him like medical help to see if maybe he could be diagnosed with something instead of just jumping to demonic possession, which, again, the Warrens are known for, and they're known for rushing exorcisms, because, you know, it's not supposed to be that easy to get a priest to come out and do an exorcism.
Yeah.
Like, so I wonder if they had anybody like see him and see if maybe it was something else.
Probably not. I feel like that would have come up in your research, and the fact that, like, wasn't this around the time that, like, satanic panic was pretty prevalent and, like, people were worried about, like, Satan rituals and people getting possessed?
Yeah.
So that's probably, they probably did not even think about it being a mental illness based on what was happening and what he said he saw. You know what I mean? Like, they probably were just like, it wasn't even an option to them. But I do agree, knowing what you know now about mental health and things like that, the first thing should be some sort of like psych evaluation. Take them to see a doctor. And then if the doctor is like, I can't explain this, then you go, okay, this might be a little something else. Might be a little
different. I agree.
So they had multiple priests to come and do an exorcism. The exorcism lasted for several days and ended when Arnie coerced one of the demons to possess him. A few days later, Arnie was attacked by the demon. The demon allegedly took control of his car and crashed it into a tree. After the crash, Arnie returned to the rental property to examine a well that supposedly housed the demon. So when he did this, was he, well, obviously he was trying to convince him to leave David and then go to himself.
Yeah. And so the well that was at the rental property, I believe when he went, I don't know why I drew a blank, Ed and Lorraine. I don't know why I forgot their names. Ed and Lorraine allegedly had been telling him not to go to the well because he told them that, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to confront it. And they told him not to, and he did it anyway. So after encountering the demon at the well and making eye contact, Arnie became possessed. At the time, Arnie and Debbie had been living in her mother's home and decided it was time to move out. Debbie was hired by Alan Bono, who was a new resident in Brookfield, Connecticut, as a dog groomer. Arnie and Debbie moved into an apartment close to Debbie's job. After moving in, Arnie began exhibiting odd behavior that was similar to David's. So, I did look into it, and there was a psychiatrist who, after the fact, she looked into this case, and she said that David wasn't possessed, but he had a learning disability.
What kind of learning disability would it cause?
She didn't say.
That would cause him to growl, hiss, and speak, like.
This is what I'm thinking. It could have been that with something else mentally, because they didn't look into it. So he had a, this is just my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe he was frustrated at the fact that he, you know, people, they didn't understand him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time they're saying he's possessed when they should have been taking him to get help. Basically, and then they would have known that he had a learning disability.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with kids, because of the fact that he did have a learning disability, it's hard for him to express himself, and maybe he was getting a little frustrated.
Okay.
So maybe that is why he, I don't know why he would be growling, but maybe he.
That's what I was.
It's not funny. That's not why I'm laughing. I'm just saying that maybe that's how he expressed his frustration.
My thing is, though, if he was not, he's 11. If he was not exhibiting, because I get what you're saying, but if his behavior wasn't showing signs of that prior to them moving to this rental home, then how would you explain that? I do get that some learning disabilities, I mean, I guess, don't show up until later in life. Like, dyslexia may not show up until later in life until you study a certain subject or something like that, but I don't know. Yeah, but I'm trying to think, because he is 11, so he would have been in school. He would have already been learning. They would have known if he was behind developmentally, I would think, or like if he was behind in reading, or if he was, if his, what do you call it? Like his speech was behind, but yeah, it didn't seem, it seemed like it came out of nowhere. And then how does that explain, which it's probably going to come up, but how does that explain, what's his name? Who was like, choose me, his dad, is that his dad?
Oh, Arnie.
Yeah, how would that explain who is Arnie to David?
His brother-in-law.
Okay,
because at the time him and Debbie weren't married, they were just living together.
Okay,
because they got married I think when he was in prison.
Oh okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I don't want to say it. Oh, I'm gonna save it till the end.
Okay.
Because I think I can explain all of this.
Okay. Well, save it to the end.
According to Debbie, Arnie would fall into a trance-like state where he would growl and hallucinate, but would have no memory of it.
So, okay. Yeah, that's that again, though. Yeah, without any question, he's now doing the same thing that Arnie's doing, unless he was using it as some sort of opportunity for some mastermind plan, but we'll save it.
Yeah.
Okay. On February 16th, 1981, Arnie called in sick to his job at Wright Tree Service and joined Debbie at the kennel where she worked, along with his sister Wanda and Debbie's 9-year-old cousin Mary. Alan Bono, who was the couple's landlord and Debbie's boss, bought the group lunch at a local bar and was drinking heavily. After lunch, Debbie took the girls to get pizza, but insisted they return quickly because she sensed something was off.
Upon returning, Alan was extremely intoxicated and became agitated. Debbie told everyone to leave the room except Alan, who had forcibly taken hold of Mary and refused to let her go. Arnie went back into the room and ordered Alan to release Mary. Alan released Mary and she ran to the car. Debbie attempted to defuse the situation by standing between Arnie and Alan.
Wanda tried to pull Arnie away. This is when Arnie began growling like an animal and pulled out a 5-inch pocket knife and stabbed Alan repeatedly. Alan Bono died several hours later. Alan suffered 4 to 5 tremendous wounds, mostly to the chest, and one that stretched from his stomach to the base of his heart.
I was just going to say, the statement about the wounds, this is coming from Arnie's lawyer. I don't know why we're not getting it from like a medical examiner or something.
That's what
or maybe
I was
that's
say.
Where he got the information, but yeah, that was according to his lawyer.
Oh, okay. Arnie was found 2 miles away from the scene and was held at the Bridgeport Correctional Center on bail of $125,000. This was the first unlawful killing in the history of Brookfield, Connecticut. That's interesting. In all that time. Dang, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, Connecticut is like, I don't want to say one of the safest, well, not for black folks, but it's like
I was about to say, do I need to go to Connecticut? But never mind.
No.
I go. No, don't go. Okay, I won't go.
I mean, probably to visit, but not to live. Because I've heard a couple things. Yeah. The day after the killing, Lorraine Warren informed the Brookfield police that Arnie was possessed when he committed the crime. These statements caused a media firestorm. Martin Manella, Arnie's lawyer, received calls from all over the world about what was being called the Demon Murder Trial, not to be confused with the name of the movie. Because I don't know where they got The Devil Made Me Do It, maybe because of the possession. But if you're researching this, it'll come up as like The Devil Made Me Do It.
Probably because he feels like the devil made him do it. So that's probably why.
Yeah.
The trial took place in Connecticut's Superior Court in Danbury, beginning on October 28, 1981. Martin Manella attempted to submit a plea of not guilty by virtue of possession, but the presiding judge, Robert Callahan, rejected this defense. Because of this, the jury was not legally allowed to consider demonic possession as a viable explanation for the killing. They didn't want to try, or maybe they couldn't try. Like an insanity plea, but I guess what would be the basis?
That's what I was thinking that they would have done, but I don't think they did. So according to a couple people, the whole thing was Ed and Lorraine was basically using this for publicity. So that's why they were pushing the possession thing. So I don't even think they ever even tried to plead insanity.
Okay. Or even self.
So. Yeah.
Self-defense maybe might be a stretch.
Self-defense.
Yeah, is what I'm thinking.
Honestly, I think self-defense would have been better because they said he was basically holding Mary hostage.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. So many things they could have done, but they went with possession. The jury deliberated for 15 hours over the course of 3 days before convicting Arnie on November 24, 1981, of first-degree manslaughter. On December 18, 1981, he was sentenced to 10 to 20 years in prison, but he only served 5.
How?
That's a good question. Good behavior? I don't know. Maybe... I'm thinking a lot of times, how can I put this? I feel like they felt it was just the one incident. Like he wouldn't do it again. It was just that one particular incident. Because I know they consider that is the person most likely to do this again.
Right. Let's see. Wikipedia says good behavior.
See? Because even in the, and I hate to reference movies, but even in the movie, I think they did say good behavior.
Okay. Interesting. In 1983, Gerald Brittle, along with Lorraine Warren, published a book about the incident titled The Devil in Connecticut. Upon the book's republication, David Glatzel and his brother Carl Glatzel Jr. sued the authors and book publishers for violating their right to privacy, libel, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Carl Jr. claimed the possession story was a hoax that Ed and Lorraine Warren came up with to exploit the family and his brother's mental illness, and that the book painted him out to be the villain because he didn't believe in the supernatural claims. Wait, who didn't believe?
Carl. So he's basically saying that the book made him look bad. Yeah. Because you remember, there was really no mention of him, like, even in the movie.
Of Carl.
There was no mention of Carl. Yeah. But that was kind of what I was getting at the beginning, that this whole thing was just a hoax.
What was it then? If it, like, why did he kill him if it wasn't a demonic possession?
Honestly, I think he probably just snapped because, like, you see this man doing all this because I believe the incident happened, like they said, that he was drunk and he was, you know, like, because how old was Mary? Because Mary, that's Jesus. Debbie's cousin. And hold on, did I put how old she was? She was 9. And he had her and wouldn't let her go. And then when he did let her go, I think he was still kind of like coming at them.
Oh, okay.
So I think he was just defending himself and he just snapped. And he could have something, he could have a mental illness, you don't know.
That's true.
And the way some of the articles were making it seem was that this happened and then Ed and Lorraine came up with all this whole backstory to try to use it as a defense because they had already had in mind that they were going to write this book.
Wait, so essentially none of that stuff happened with David or did happen?
Didn't.
No, it didn't happen. Ah, because that was going to be my next thing was, okay, well, what about David? Where's David?
So the thing is, the family knew that David was mentally ill. And according to some of them, Ed and Lorraine wasn't even really that involved. And they do this a lot. They'll come in for like a day or two just so they can write a book, basically. Because, was it the Amityville? It was one case where I think we covered it. So I don't think it was Amityville. The author that co-wrote the book, he came out and said that Ed basically told him to make something up, but just make it scary.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the main theory is that none of this actually happened.
What? How could you just make all of this up?
But, I mean, that's what they were known for. But, like, if you ever get a chance, just really look into them. Because I went down a whole rabbit hole.
Excuse me, sorry. A whole rabbit hole. Looking them up.
If you can. Because it was a lot of people, like they had a lot of lawsuits after the fact because, was it the Enfield case? Because that was another one where they came in and a family basically put them out.
Right.
And then the family from the first Conjuring, same thing. Ed and Lorraine showed up out of nowhere and then they told them to leave.
That's crazy. Now they made books and movies and
everything. And the whole thing, you remember in the first Conjuring, the whole story about the witch, Bathsheba?
Yes.
She was a real person, but they pretty much made that whole thing up about her being a witch and about her. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Anybody who has the time, just mainly look into Ed.
Okay.
And then they say that he allegedly was very abusive to her.
To
Lorraine. And she really could have been a medium, but I think she was basically forced into doing a lot of this stuff.
Dang.
But anyway, the incident inspired the premise of the 2021 film, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. The Discovery Channel's paranormal series, A Haunting, which is one of my, I think I've seen every single episode, aired an episode titled Where Demons Dwell based on the case. However, the episode did not mention Arnie's crimes. My note was, I remember this episode and I didn't realize until after the movie came out that he actually committed a murder. Because he was even in the episode.
How the heck did that not come up? Maybe in order for them to do the episode, they couldn't bring it up. Maybe they had some sort of like NDA.
Maybe. But yeah, he was not the whole family, but him and Debbie, they were in the episode.
And he done killed somebody and got out in 5 years.
Yeah, when I saw the preview for the movie, I was like, this kind of seems familiar. And then I looked into it and I was like, I remember this episode. And then I went back just to be sure and watched the episode and they never mentioned it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, final and thoughts? I just found out a couple days ago that Netflix is making a documentary about this case.
Yes.
And it's coming out, I think the 19th is coming out this month.
Oh, okay.
But I believe, dang it, I forgot the name of it. Either David and Carl are in it, or is it just Carl? Because I cannot remember the name of it. And I meant to put it in my notes, but I was half asleep when I watched the... I saw it on Instagram. Yeah, The Devil on Trial. It says, using reenactments and home videos, this dark documentary investigates the apparent possession of a young boy and the brutal murder, I can't even talk, murder that followed.
Okay, I'm gonna watch the trailer when we get off. Okay, anything else? Do you have any?
Other than my rant about the Warrens. No. Do you think that this whole thing is a hoax?
I mean, yeah. I mean, when you explain it like that, you kind of broke everything down. I don't have like a strong opinion either way. I'm kind of waiting to see that documentary to make that final decision. Yeah. But like, if they really did make up the stuff with David, if that's all made up, then yeah, I would believe that it was, I can believe that it's a hoax. So yeah, then I guess that is all, folks.
Please follow us on Instagram at It's a Strange World Podcast, Twitter at Pod Strange World, and on Facebook and TikTok at It's a Strange World After All. Also, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and like the show, please go ahead and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're feeling extra strange, please write a review. Please and thank you.
Yes, we would love to hear from you. What did you think of this week's episode? What do you think about the case? Have you ever heard of the case? Have you seen The Conjuring 3? By this point, have you watched the documentary? Is the documentary out yet? So many questions. Because we're in podcast world, so we're, you know, recording from another day. But yeah, what do you think? And we will try to do that bonus episode for you guys once that comes out.
If you have any personal stories involving true crime or the supernatural, we would love to have you on the show and share them with our listeners. We are doing movie reviews of the horror, thriller, slasher, and true crime genre. So if you have any movies or documentaries and want to hear our uncensored, unsolicited opinions on them, you can email those submissions to itsastrangeworldafterall@gmail.com or DM us at any other social media platforms. D mentioned,
even if you just want to say trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat, we will be here. And maybe we'll give you something good to eat. I don't know.
We'll give you some candy corn.
They gonna throw that candy corn. Get hate mail because you giving out candy corn.
Hey, I don't see a problem with it. Thank you for tuning into another episode of, I don't need to say it right.
It's a strange world after all. I'm going to say that for something. That's how we're going to do like in Black Music Appreciation Month. Like,
that should just be the trailer for the next season.
It's a strange world after all. Let me work on it. I can maybe work some harmonies. Coming soon. I can work some harmonies out. Yeah. And thank you, as always, for keeping it, well, for this month, extra creepy, spookily strange with us. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.